Revelation chapter 19. I'm going to begin reading with the 7th verse through the 10th today. The marriage of the Lamb is the heading that I have in my scripture. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto me, See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank You today. Thank You for those beautiful hymns. Thank You for touching the hearts of those that have written those hymns with such a powerful, powerful message. Help us, dear Lord, to just see Your way and will. Help us to take Your precious word today by the leadership of the Holy Spirit and learn it, apply it to our hearts, empower us with it. Give us wisdom for this coming week if You give this week to us. Today is the day, and that's all we have. And so please that You will give us the wisdom we need for today. I ask, Father, that if those that are here do not know You as their Savior, that today be the day they come, because the day is the day of salvation. And please, dear Lord, that they don't tarry one more day, because they may not have one more day. You could come, Lord Jesus, You could come right now. But if You choose to tarry, death could come to Your doorstep. And Father, if it comes, it's too late. And so please, that all that hear these words will be saved. They'll trust in You as their Savior. Please today, please speak to all of our hearts, saved and lost alike. Whatever the need is, I know You can supply that need. Let us call upon You for it and just strengthen us, direct us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We looked this past week at the 19th verse and all the activities that were pertaining to those few verses of Scripture, the first 6 verses. And it brought out the hallelujahs in verse 1 and in verse 3 and in verse 4 and in verse 6. The hallelujahs. Something is coming. The marriage of the Lamb is soon to come. And they're becoming excited. They're also very excited about the judgment that is being poured out, because finally, justice is being brought to earth. The evil that has been upon this earth since the time that Adam and Eve decided to take of the forbidden fruit and brought sin in, the devil from that time on has had a great hold upon this earth. The curse came upon all the earth. The curse is upon all the animals. The curse is upon man, of course, and the curse is upon the earth itself. We have the thistles and the weeds and all things that are destructive. All that came at that one decision when they chose not to listen unto God and to be disobedient. From that time on, we find that it's been the evil that has seemed to have had the victory. But we know the victor, and the victor is our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in heaven at this time. We are part of this hallelujah choir, as well as all others that are present. And for us to cry out hallelujah when the victories come, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. We also have the second hallelujahs in verse 3. Hallelujah, her smoke rose up forever and ever. Judgment has come, and it brings a praise to us in heaven. The third hallelujah comes from the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, Amen, hallelujah. And again, that's after the victory has been won. The enemy is being destroyed. And that brought a praise to us because we are the 24 elders. That's the church. The 4 beasts were created just to praise God day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to praise God. And so they too cry out hallelujah. And then the final is in verse 4, hallelujah. In verse 6, the number 4, hallelujah, is for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. What a statement. We have an all-knowing, all-powerful God, and He reigns. Jesus reigns. What a glorious day it will be when He comes and plants His feet upon this earth and reigns for 1,000 years, and then that's just the beginning of eternity, because from then on we will rule and reign with Him. What a glorious day that's going to be. With that all in mind and that all said, let's go to the 7th verse. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. His wife hath made herself ready. The Lamb's wife, the New Testament church, the bride. It's not Israel. It's the church. It's you and me. It's this time, this age, this time right now has been one of the blessedest time upon the earth. Because every time that a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within him or her. What a joyful day that we live in. Couldn't be a greater day that we live in than today. We have so much light. The Old Testament Israel is the adulterous wife of Jehovah. She will be destroyed. If you would please go back this afternoon, I don't want you to take the time right now, but go back to Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 10, and Hosea chapter 2, verses 1 through 17, and you will find where the nation of Israel finds its place, because it will be destroyed, but it'll never be called the virgin nor the bride. Never. Now, if we look back to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be looking to different scripture verses today, 2 Corinthians, you'll find that right after 1 Corinthians. And if you listen to the study on Revelation 105, why you found that I was trying to help people find a verse of scripture, and I've got them out of sorts, and I corrected it. I had made the statement that I was off to the next thought, and I need to stay back with that thought before I move forwards. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Turn with me back to Revelation chapter 2. Chapter 21. I missed the one there. Chapter 21, verse 9. And there came unto me one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials full of the 7 last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show you thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. As we go back now to chapter 19. Notice, as we made mention last week, that the marriage is not of the bride, it's the marriage of the Lamb. The reason that we have an opportunity for this wedding, the reason we have an opportunity to be here at this time, is because of the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundations of the world. In God's mind and God's heart, Jesus would die at a given time and shed his blood that you and I can live. He truly is the Lamb of God. And that is why we have an opportunity of salvation. That's why we have our sins taken away. And so it's not the marriage of the bride, us being the bride, it's the marriage of the Lamb, because he is the one that everything should be focused to. We should look to the Lamb of God. That should be our focus point. It'll be a great joy. It is his great joy to receive us. God saves us for the sake of his only begotten Son, in whom he is well pleased, the Scripture tells us. Little details are given of the marriage. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32 says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." We know it takes place right before the Lord's return to earth in his power. Again, the Scripture clearly teaches us that the bride is not Israel, nor a remnant of Israel, but is the Gentile bride. This Gentile bride is called out of every race. So there will be Jews. There'll be all members of every race around the world that will have been saved, will be a part of the church. And so when we look at the bride, that's who the bride is. The bride is the whosoever will. If that helps you to understand, we are in the age right now of grace, the church age, and it is the whosoever will can come. So if you have someone that you know and you love that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, it's not God's fault. God supplies everything that is needed for salvation. And if they have refused it or rejected it, it's of their own doing and it's their own destruction. And what a sad day, because we are of the time of the whosoever will. All saints, all born-again believers, all born-again people, all believers, all blood-washed people, between the Acts chapter 2 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. And I want to show you that time period. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. So please turn there with me. Acts chapter 2, because this is the bride between these two points of time. Acts chapter 2. We're just going to read a few verses. Almost the whole chapter pertains to it, but we're just going to read the few verses of the chapter. Acts chapter 2, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven." Now, that's the start right there. Right there. This dispensation that we live in is from the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus all the way to the rapture, because 1 Thessalonians 4:17 tells us of that time. So please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. You can even hold that in Acts if you'd like, just to kind of go back and forth if you still have it. If not, it's not necessary to turn back there. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. And this just sums it up, and I'm going to begin with the 16th verse because that's too powerful to miss. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And that 18th verse, if that isn't comfort to you, you're not saved. Comfort one another with these words. The bride, the whosoever will, the Acts chapter 2 to Thessalonians chapter 4, that period of time, because that's the reference right there in each, the birth and the rapture of the church. And so what a wonderful time we live in. Back to Revelation chapter 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. His wife hath made herself ready. His 24 elders that is spoken of in the fourth verse of chapter 19 also is referred to back in Revelation chapter 4. Is given a special, special blessing, special promises that no other dispensation, no other group, time has. The saints of this dispensation are all baptized into one body by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And again, the dispensation that we live in today is the dispensation of grace. There are many different divisions that man has made concerning these dispensations. Some believe in four, some believe there are seven, some believe there isn't any at all. The seven, I believe, fits very, very well in a dispensation. It's a time that God does something special, and his plan is set. And the dispensation of promise was given to Abraham. And so that is the fourth dispensation. We're not going to take time today to go through the first three, but you can realize that that promise came to Abraham in the last part of the 11th and the 12th chapter of Genesis. And so the other three were very short dispensations. This is a dispensation of promise, and it lasts from Abraham to Moses when he received the law. That is the fourth dispensation. The fifth one is law, and that goes from Sinai to Calvary. And then the sixth is the dispensation of grace, which we live in today, and that goes from the death and resurrection of Christ to the rapture. And then the seventh would be the kingdom, and that will stretch to the regathering of Israel through the millennial reign of Christ. And so, seven. Now, again, there's discussions back and forth to how to properly divide those, but I think seven and these last four are very clearly marked. We'll notice here that the elders disappear, and we see all taking their proper place. We're beginning to put everything in order. To the church, to the bride, Christ is the head and the foundation. We are his body. Jesus loved the church so much that he gave his life. Jesus loved the church so much that he purchased it with his own precious blood. There is nothing of greater value that could be given for someone that was of no value, and that's me. The church on the earth has weathered many storms. We watch as this summer, spring, summer, and early fall here, we watch the storms come across, and we kind of buckle everything down, lock everything down so that nothing blows away, and then the storm moves on. Well, the church has weathered many storms similar to that. And when you go through a storm, and if you go through it alone, you would always look for someone, your companion, someone, parent possibly, someone to come home. You're afraid of the storm. Well, as we go through these storms of this life, we should be very anxious that the bridegroom will soon appear and the storms will be over and we'll completely be safe. That's going to happen when he comes to meet us in the air. I thought those hymns were very appropriate this morning as we were singing those, waiting for the trump to sound. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And the last part of that verse says, and his wife hath made herself ready. His wife hath made herself ready. There are two steps to us being prepared for this. The first is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. And I believe that you need to turn to that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Colossians 1, 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hath made us meet to be partakers. Hath made us meet. Made us able to be partakers. And that comes, of course, through the blood of Jesus Christ. But also comes as we have to go through the fire, preparing ourselves for the wedding. God in his grace makes the bride ready for heaven. The second step is we have a responsibility ourselves. All believers must make themselves ready. Turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 28. Many folks believe that as long as you get saved, that's all there is. We don't have to worry about serving the Lord, praising the Lord, honoring the Lord with our lives. We think that salvation and that's salvation so as by fire is what that is. You're going to just squeak through, and it's going to be a day that there'll be a sadness in your heart. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We need to be ready. We need to be working. We need to be serving him, praising him, honoring him. To just get saved and just come to church, it's going to be a sad day for you. There can be a multitude of things that we can be doing that nobody ever sees. We always prefer the pat on the back by a brother or sister acknowledging what we're doing. God doesn't account. His accounting is different than that. He accounts to our life everything we do in his name for him. That can be in the quietness of your home in prayer for someone that's lost. That can be in a quiet place that nobody ever sees or ever knows, but you're praying for a brother or sister that has fallen away. It could be for someone that's ill that you're praying that God's mercy and hand of healing will come down upon them. You could be the greatest servant of the Lord, and yet we don't see it. We're in a race, the book of Hebrews tells us. Every one of us has different talents and different abilities. We need to be using those abilities. We need to be taking those talents that God's given us, and we need to multiply them. We need to use them, and the more we use them, the greater and stronger they become. But if we don't use them, then God takes them away. We need to be in service to our Lord, because the day comes that trump sounds, we better have laid up some work in heaven and a little less work here on earth when it comes to most folks, I'm afraid. All believers must make themselves ready. We need to be prepared. There must be a period of preparation at the judgment seat of Christ. Every believer will be rewarded according to the works that have been recorded. Now, it's got nothing to do with your salvation. We're saved by grace and grace alone. God saves us. But in saving us, He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us the victory and the strength to live for Him, to walk with Him, to serve Him. And if we choose not to, then this record here that is being kept will be a very short one. And it'll be a day of sorrow. You think, well, I'm in heaven. There can't be sorrow. Yes. There will be some weeping at this judgment. We'll see who He is and what He's done for us in His fullness. And then we'll look at what little we have accomplished and what little we did for Him. And it'll be a sad day. Not long, but it'll be a sad day. We need to be prepared for that day. There are many Christians, carnal Christians, who live a very worldly life. They will pass through the fires of this judgment. Yes, they will be at the wedding. Yes, they will be wed to the bridegroom, but not till after a time of judgment. Cleansed by fire, then will come His return to earth, and not until then. All this, it will be done. It'll all precede the marriage of the Lamb. As the seventh verse says, the last half, it tells us His wife and His wife hath made herself ready. So there's a dual preparation there. We need to prepare ourselves right now, and then God will finish that preparation, preparing us for the wedding. He has given us, and we'll end with this, He has given us the most wonderful dress, suit, outfit to have on, and it is the righteousness that He has given us. And it's pictured here in the eighth verse, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. When it speaks of her garment, this garment speaks of her righteousness, our righteousness, a righteousness that we have gained because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Fine linen. Let's look at Isaiah 64:6 as we look at this last section here. We are clean and white. Isaiah 64:6. Isaiah 64, 6. We are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. If you are trusting in anything but the blood of Jesus Christ, you are trusting in your own righteousness, and that verse of Scripture explains it better than any other. So yourself, if you've never trusted in Jesus, or someone that you know refuses Jesus, they are trusting in their own righteousness to be enough. That's what their value is right there, as filthy rags. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what we need. We don't need our righteousness. We need his righteousness. And it's been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Purchased by the blood of Jesus. To her was granted that she should be arrayed. Look at what God has given. In fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. What a day. What a glorious day that's going to be. I hope you're excited about it. Let's be working towards that day. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time. I just ask that as we search our hearts, we know, yes, we're saved. No, we're not. Search our hearts to know that we are growing in you if we are saved, that we're learning about you, we're serving you, we're praising you, we're working for you, we're preparing for this day that we stand before you, because we, as Paul, desire the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Will that be words that we receive? Or will we have our heads bowed to the ground in shame because we accepted that free gift and then spent all the time in the world and didn't do one single thing to further your precious gospel? Just speak to our hearts, dear Lord. We love your precious word. We thank you for the free gift of salvation. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that comes to live within us, to guide and lead us and strengthen us, to show us your truths. We thank you for this body of believers that are here today, that come together. The doors are open. We come and we study your precious word, learning more about you. Thank you, Father, for this great day. Looking forward to your coming and then the marriage. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.